this theme that I've been hearing in my heart for the last 3 months, in whom we have. That's all I kept hearing. In whom we have. We see that in Ephesians, Colossians. We see it in a few other places. In whom we have. What does that mean? In Christ, we have, and the scripture says, in whom we have redemption. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. So it's in Christ we have something. Now, if you said, I have $100 in my pocket, that means what? You have possession of that. If you said, I have this in my pocket, that means you have it. You have possession of it. And that means if you have possession of it, that means you have the right to use it, doesn't it? If you have it, that means that gives you the authority and the right to use what you have. So in this says, in whom, in Christ, we have redemption. That means we have something in Christ. That's why you see ministers teaching on what you have in Christ, knowing what you have in Christ. So just like there are in a family, just think about it. You were born into a natural family. And when you were born into that family, along with it came some rights in your family that you don't have in another family, right? So the same thing as a citizen. Just think about a simple thing. If you're a citizen of the United States, I don't think about it because I was born in this country. So you are automatically, there were privileges that you got because you were a citizen. But I'll tell you, somebody who lived in another country and had to become a citizen, it's a big deal. Not only a big deal, they don't take it for granted. And so that's why you see people in this country, they just take their privileges for granted because they didn't really have to, you know, in other words, they didn't earn it. They didn't have to do anything. It's not on their thinking, in their thinking. So it's the same thing. You didn't have to earn your redemption. You didn't have to earn the privileges. Those privileges were extended to Christ. In other words, it says, we are an heir of God. It's Romans 8, 16 and 17. We are what? An heir of God and a joint heir of Christ. That means I have some inheritance. And so part of those things, when we talk about what do we have? We have what? We have been delivered from the power of darkness, and we've been translated into the family of God. So when you ask Jesus to come into your heart, and you confessed him as Lord and Savior, and you believe that he was raised from the dead, the scripture says you were born again. Or you could say you became a child of God. So if we're children of God, then that means I have some things that have been extended to me, some rights that have been extended to me. Romans 8, 16, I like this. This is the New Living Translation in 17. It says, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. So we are children of God, and because of that, we're a threat to the devil. He is defeated. He has been stripped of his power, and so all the power, all of the authority is in Christ. And he's in us by his spirit. We have been baptized into him. And so because of that, we have been given the name to use, the name of Jesus. And that's why what he says in John chapter 16, he said in verse, I'm going to read this from the Passion Translation because I think this says it in a way that I think it has a little better translation here. It says, John 16, 23 and 24 in the Passion Translation. It says, "For here is the eternal truth. When that time comes, you won't need to ask me for anything, but instead, you will go directly to the Father and ask him for anything you desire, and he will give it to you." This is in the Passion Translation. And it says, "He will give it to you because of your relationship with me." Ooh. So he's putting some things in a way that there's a legal connection. In other words, you ask me anything, you go directly to the Father, and because of your relationship with me, he'll do it. Ooh. Verse 24, "Until now, you've not been bold enough to ask the Father for a single thing in my name. But now you can ask and keep on asking him, and you can be sure that you'll receive what you ask for, and your joy will have no limits." So that means all of the authority, all the power that Jesus was conferred upon. Let's look at, I want to look at Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 and 19 in the New Living Translation. How many know what it means to have the power of attorney? Anybody know what that term means? Most do, some don't. If you've been given the power of attorney, you know, anytime, you know, maybe you have family or maybe you had a situation where they give you the power of attorney, or let's say they have the specific, I mean, you may have medical power of attorney. Or you may have power of attorney over someone's finances. Or you may be given a broader, position of just power of attorney, period. And they may qualify that. Well, what does that mean? When you've been given the power of attorney, you have been given the legal right to speak on the behalf of that person, to make decisions for that person. You've been given the legal right to speak on their behalf, to make decisions, medical, financial, whatever. Well, we've been given the power of attorney to use the name of Jesus. We've been given the right to speak in Jesus' name and to speak in his behalf. We are his body here in the earth. Just think about this for a moment. When Jesus was here on this earth, let me just read a scripture because I think we need to have a clearer picture. Because I was looking at this, and I know it's most of you probably know this, but I think we need to just think about this here. In John, I'm just looking here. I wrote that particular scripture verse down. Yeah, John 14, verse 10 in the New Living Translation. When Jesus was on this earth, it was God in Christ reconciling the world. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, it was God in Christ reconciling mankind. And it was God in Christ manifesting himself to who? The people that, you know, they didn't know what God was like. And it was God manifesting his nature, his way, and his will through who? Christ. So think about what it says in John 14, verse 10 in the New Living. It says, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but the Father in me," or the Father who lives in me, "does his work through me." This is Jesus speaking when he was on the earth. Well, who's in us? It is God in us by his Son. So the same thing today. God wants to do what? Reach out and touch this world through us to reach people. It's no different. And that's why I was sharing, there is such opposition, because the devil wants to blind people to how good God is. He wants to frustrate people so that they don't operate in the love of God. They get annoyed that somebody is saying something about them. It's not about you, it's the one who's in you. And he wants to get you off and out of love, because why? Faith works by love. So when you get frustrated and annoyed at people, it's like Minister Joe was reading, we wrestle not, Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wicked forces and entities and evil strategies. That's what we wrestle against. And they want to blind people to what God has already done for them, his goodness, his mercy, his love for us. And he doesn't want us to yield to God, to be used of God, to reach out to people with the love of God. He wants us to be frustrated with life, right? And frustrated with our problems. But he's given us his name. So all of the authority that was conferred upon Jesus, all of that authority is in his name. So when we use that name, it's as if he was here. We are using his name on his behalf. That's the power of attorney. So it's no different than when you use someone else's name, you've been given the legal right to use that name and speak on their behalf. You're saying, "I'm speaking on their behalf." Right? So it's no different. The power of God is in the name. And the devil knows it. So back to Matthew 28, verse 18. I'm going to read this from the New Living Translation, 18, 19, and 20. In Matthew 28, 18, it said, "Jesus came and told his disciples, 'I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth, therefore go.'" What is he saying? He's giving us the authority to use his name. He's saying, "Now you go in my behalf. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father
and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And the Amplified Classic, in verse 19, they can put that up, Matthew 28:19. I like the way this says, you know, when it says baptizing them. This, in the Amplified Classic, says, go then and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them into the name. Into the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. So we've been given, and Jesus is saying here, I'm sending you to make disciples of all nations on this earth, and I am with you always. So he's given us his power and his authority, and it's in the name of Jesus. And the devil knows it, and he wants us to get out of faith using the name and not be absolutely clear of the power of that name. And so I think it's just a reminder that as we are going through life, be conscious of that name. Mark 16, in verse 15, 16, and 17, and 18. We have authority. We were talking about evil strategies. Well, we have been given authority to use his name over darkness, over the powers of darkness. Mark 16, verse 15, it says, and this is King James, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. What does it say next? In my name. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, if you could just put up verse 17 in the New Living Translation. Verse 17. It says, these miraculous signs, that's what I like this here, these miraculous signs will accompany those who do what? Believe. They will cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages. And in this particular translation, there's a footnote, and it says, in the Greek, it says, these signs shall accompany the believing ones in my name. So it accompanies the believing ones. So every child of God is a believing one. You are a believer. That means you are a believing one. So these signs accompany the believing one. His authority in this particular book here, I don't know if we've sold these up here or not, it's The Authority of the Believer. This was written back in the 1930s, but there was a comment here that he made. I'll just read this. This is by John A. McMillan. He was, back in the 30s, when he came back to America, he was the assistant editor, and he taught at Nyack College in Nyack, New York. But he said here, And he writes, because it's written back in the 30s, so the English is a little different. It says, nor can any believer escape this conflict so long as he resolutely presses forward in the pursuit of true holiness and effective ministry. That's what I was talking about this morning. As you resolve to press forward, you're not going to escape conflict because it's evil strategies. And it goes on to say, it is part of the training of the Lord's overcoming people. In the kingdom age, Christ has planned that they shall reign with him from the heavenly places over the earth. So we are physically here, but we are, what does it say in Ephesians? We are seated with him in heavenly places. What does that mean? I reign from that place of authority with him, but I'm here. But I've been given authority that I'm reigning from this place of authority. And it says here, it is consequently not strange that the principalities and powers who are to be dispossessed of the seats of authority now are occupied by them should savagely resist their own displacement. All that saying is what? They don't want to let go of the grip that they have. These spiritual enemies oppose every forward step of the overcomer. They oppose it. They will seek to confuse their minds, sometimes drawing them into error or into extravagance in doctrine. They may even attack them in body, in circumstances, or through their family or friends. So we need to remind ourselves that we are the believing ones, and we have been given authority in the name of Jesus to pull down these entities and these evil spirits that have held sway in an area. I know when we first opened up this property's been here for many, 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 many years, but when we took ownership in 1993 and then we refurbished all of this, we opened up services here in about 2008. And one time when I was standing on this platform here, and we were opening up in service, and we were just had a time of worship, as I was standing there, I heard the Lord speak by his Spirit. I heard him speak. He said, as you come here and worship me, I will push back the darkness that's held sway in this area. And don't tell me there's not going to be resistance. And that's why, in a lot of times, you don't see people feel the need to worship God because they don't see the need. But as we pray and darkness is pushed back and the light shines into an area, people begin to see. And they begin to see that they need God. And that's why, and God is good. He's not trying to get in your business. He's trying to help us. He's just trying to help us. He's trying to say, look, I'm here to help you so you don't have to bump through life. God can open doors that no man can open. He can bless us in ways that no man can ever bless us. And so, This is what you know, we need to remind ourselves that I've been given a name that's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. 1 John 5:4, it says, whosoever, I like this in the Passion Translation, but in the King James, it says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. So what does that mean? He that is begotten of God, he that is a child of God, he that is a new person in Christ is an overcomer. That means you have some authority to make some changes in your life, in your area, in your family, in your town, wherever you live in, on your job. You know, if you don't like the things that are going on in your job, if God doesn't move you out of that place, then you begin to use the name of Jesus in that setting. That doesn't mean I'm going around and preaching to everybody. It may, but if you just show up, you are a light. If you just love people, because that's what the scripture says, that in these last days, people are going to become cold. And so we see that. If you just come to work and go to work and just treat people right, people are going to go, what's with you? Say, well, it's the love of God in me. It's Jesus in me. Now, they may laugh. That's all right. But they're watching. You know, I remember years ago when I worked for a utility company, I remember I had a, you know, I reported to VPs and different people, and I had a position as a team or a director over a group of programmers. And, you know, sometimes, you know, things would get heated. You know, I'm not a doormat. So sometimes, you know, you have some heated, passionate conversations. And I remember when I left that utility company, you know, I remember I left on great terms. You know, their HR said, look, you know, when you ever want a job, you doors are open, you can come back. And but I remember one of the persons that was in that department, he was at the similar level I was, and these were also people I worked with. They said, you know, one of the things we noticed about you, now they said this after years of working with them. They said, you know, you get upset, but you never curse. And that was a witness to them. That everybody else could get upset or did get upset just like you, but I didn't curse. And I told them, you know, and they knew what I stood for, but that they knew there was something different. And that's what I'm saying, is that you can be in an area, there's something different about you because it's God in you. And people know it. You don't even have to say anything. You walk in the room, the fragrance of Christ comes with you. He comes with you. Glory to God. So I just wanted to share those thoughts and remind us about the name, and Ephesians 3:12, just we can close this, or there's a few scriptures, just two more scriptures, but Ephesians 3:12 in the King James, it says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. See, so when you get frustrated, see, this says here, in him we have what? Boldness and access with confidence. How? By the faith of him. So when you get out of faith and you get frustrated with people and frustrated with life, then a lot of times, we're not coming to God in boldness and with confidence. We're not. And so we need to remind ourselves that, look, wait a minute. The devil's the one that's defeated. God is my father. I've been fathered by him. been fathered by him. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. I want to read this in the New Living Translation. And then I'm going to read another translation. It says, all praise to God, this is the New Living, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Why? Because we are united with Christ. Remember, we're talking about there's some privileges. Just because you are in him, you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Now, listen to this. This is another translation. They won't have this, I don't think. But it's a translation entitled Norlie, N-O-R-L-I-E. Says, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing that heaven itself enjoys. So every spiritual blessing that heaven itself enjoys has been given to us. What does heaven enjoy? Peace, love, joy, health. I mean, what? I mean, there's no hatred. I mean, this is what they enjoy. We've been given that. Now, we might not be drawing on those resources or causing them to be stirred up in us, but we've been given them. And we have access to them in the name of Jesus. So in his name, we can go to the Father and draw upon all the resources of heaven. They've been given to us. And the devil knows this. He doesn't want to see Christians prosper. He doesn't want to see Christians be at peace. He doesn't want to see Christians walk in the blessings of God. He wants to see them do what? Be destroyed. What does it say? John 10:10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to what? To destroy. But I have come, this is Jesus speaking, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. And we can draw upon that. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So just keep that in mind. Keep that those thoughts in mind. I'm going to see if I can get these. We have them in Nanuet. I'm going to bring these up so we can make these available. This book is, there's a couple of books that I feed on. This one's called The Wonderful Name of Jesus by E.W. Kenyon. These are people that have gone on to heaven, but great resources to feed upon. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that we are your children. And we thank you that we are seated with you in heavenly places, in you. And we take this authority that you've given to us. And we're not like the man who took the talent and buried it into the ground. So, Father, we take the name of Jesus and we purpose to use it and we purpose to take back the things that the devil has stolen. And, Father, we thank you that this area that we live in here is shining brightly with the gospel. And we thank you that the light of the gospel shines into this area. In Jesus' name. and we thank you for it. Amen. Glory to God. Well, you know, before we dismiss, I don't think there's anything else. Anybody got a good testimony? Anything, something to share? Something God did for you or blessed you? I mean, I thank God every day. Just getting up, waking up, and putting one foot in front of the other. Have peace of mind and joy. Didn't say life was joyful, but I've got joy. Where? In me. And sometimes you have to stir it up. What's that? You got something to share? Good. Come on, share something. You want a mic? Yeah, why not? Then we all can hear you.
Thank you. I had a terrible cold for a couple of weeks as I was in the garage where it's cold, cleaning out the garage. I can't wait till spring. January 2nd is spring cleaning. That's when I start. And, you know, I just had regular symptoms, you know, cold, runny nose, the whole thing. And the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night. He's always waking me up to pray in the Spirit. He woke me up in the middle of the night and put in my remembrance Jesus going to Peter's mother-in-law. Was it mother or mother-in-law? Mother-in-law. Peter's wife's mother-in-law. And she was sick with a fever. And he spoke to the fever. I remember Brother Keith saying, can a fever hear? Apparently it can. Because he said for the fever to get out, and it left. And the Lord put that in my remembrance. I was like, oh yeah? Cold in the name of Jesus. Get out of my body. And when you talk to these things, put some bass in your voice and let them know, make them know it. Make them, they can hear, they can understand. It's just like with a child that's unruly. You know, you have people screaming. You don't have to do that. You lock eyes with them. They know. Lay hands. I woke up the next morning. I could tell the cold was running, trying to run out of my body. Everything's coming out, 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 out. You know, so use your mouth. Use your mouth. Yeah. Oh, the power of that. I've been in a situation where I was surrounded by a group of people trying to hurt me. Didn't know what to do. Started singing. They thought I was crazy, insane. They back right down. Use your mouth.
Yeah, you know, as Zena is sharing this, I remember, I'm just going to reference this Life in the Spirit conference. And, you know, again, this will be in November. I'm just trying to let people know well enough in advance. But Leanne was sharing, she said, I'm just one of these Pentecostal, she said, I got a mouth, and I'm going to speak. And she said, I was with my friend, we were going somewhere, and we were in the airport. And this man was speaking very abusively, either to his girlfriend or wife, just digging in. And she said, she started to pray in the Spirit out loud. And her friend says, shh, don't, I'm going to say something. She said, and she started praying in the Spirit out loud. Shanda baraba kasha. And she said, people didn't pay any attention because people think whatever they think. She said, it wasn't long before that man. So what was it? Combination of flesh and spiritual. And so she created an atmosphere by praying in the Spirit to change something.
And I think we don't use the power that we've been given using either praying in the Spirit or using the name of Jesus to the degree that we should. And that's why when I say, you know, like with the prayer team that we've been probably 2 years, Minister Phyllis has been over this, they get up at 5 in the morning, they pray together on the phone, they're up from 5 to 6, they do this multiple times during the week, and they're making inroads spiritually. We may not see all of it at once, but I'm telling you, the devil doesn't like it. When you start pulling down the hold that he's had on people and area, there's going to be some fight. There's going to be a fight. And we just need to resolve ourselves that I'm going to serve God. I'm going to be used, just like Jesus did. He was used of God. And so will we. So I just share that. Hope that registers in your heart. And you just say, you know what? I'm not budging. This is my home. This is my house. I like what Pastor Hagen said one time. There was something going on in his house, something sickness. He said, I just got my cowboy boots on. And I said, get out of. And I kicked him right out the front door. You know, I mean, now that's funny. But he said, I just let him know, get out of my house. Don't tolerate stuff. Don't tolerate stuff where you live, on your job, all that kind of stuff. I mean, just take authority over it and pull down the grip. You have no idea what your prayers can do and affect a change until you do it. You don't know. You know, sometimes people think, well, this, you hear people say things like they're not in authority. How would you think, what would you think of somebody who had authority to change, to do something, said, that'll never change. But you got the gun. You've got the badge. You've got the authority. Do something. And so it's the same thing. People talk that that'll never change. My wife or husband, they'll never change. Really? Well, then that's what you'll get. That's what you'll have. Them people on that job, they'll never change. You talk like you're not an overcomer. But yet the scripture says, whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. So if we have authority, then let's talk like we have authority. Let's think like we have been given authority, and let's act like it. Right? Go out and walk in the authority that God has given you.